Good afternoon again, brethren. You are what you eat. I'm quite certain you have heard this statement before. This is not be a message on dieting or the debate over organic versus conventionally grown foods. The first mention of this phrase, you are what you eat, originally appeared in 1826 when Jean Brillant Savarin, a French lawyer and famous gastronome, I had to look that up. That is just a gourmet. And he wrote, "Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are." This simply says, this is the notion that to be fit and healthy, you need to eat good food. An earlier reference in the 4th century B.C. by the great physician Hippocrates, he wrote, "Let food be the medicine, thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." Similar in approach, Hippocrates founded antiquity's greatest school of physicians, and he is known for the famous Hippocratic Oath, simply ethical conduct by the medical profession. You are what you think. What you think directly influences how you feel and how you behave. As you think, so shall you become. You may be surprised, as I was, to the origin of this quote. Anybody care to take a guess? According to my research, it was Bruce Lee, amazing martial arts practitioner and actor, teacher, and writer. He was deeply driven to be the best he could be. You may be wondering if there is a spiritual component to this quote. Bruce did not invent this thought. Actually, it was Solomon. And he was inspired to record in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As Christians, we understand that the first step in true repentance is changing how we think. God commands all men everywhere to repent. The third introductory point, you are what you know. The More You Know is a series of public service announcements, or PSAs, broadcast on the NBC family of channels in the United States, featuring educational messages. You've heard this comment before. It is not what you know, but who you know. Another one, it takes one to know one. And again, if you know you know, or you don't know what you don't know, you are what you know. You are what you eat, you are what you think, you are what you know. And all three of these are related, and they have spiritual components. Today's title, The More You Know. The inspiration for this message came about by way of a personal challenge. Actually, I had a question that I had trouble defining. And my study helped me My intention is to share with you my discovery. There are three foundational actions that are common and accepted by everyday Christians, and they are thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. We recognize these three as religious-sounding subjects, subjects that we're all quite familiar with. Can we define each one? Could we explain and or identify the essential qualities of each expression? Are they the same or distinctly different? And maybe, is there a common connection, a link to each? What does thanksgiving, praise, and worship look like? The picture begins to develop by first reading the definitions rendered in the dictionary. These definitions come from dictionary.com. The noun thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. A public acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. And what comes to mind for you? For me, it's Thanksgiving Day. Now the word praise. The noun praise is the act of expressing approval or admiration. The offering of grateful homage in words or song, and as notice, as an act of worship. And now the third one, worship, the noun. Reverent honor and homage paid to God. Formal or ceremonious rendering of such honor and homage. Are these dictionary definitions enough? Do they satisfy your or my inner desire to know, in a deeper level, what the Creator God thinks about thanksgiving, praise, and worship? My initial reaction was, no, they do not. I need to know more. And where would I go to understand what God thinks about these three actions? Well, generally speaking, we will go to God's Word, the Bible. What does the Bible record for us regarding what is God's mind on thanksgiving, praise, and worship? And his intention for our development in these three activities. What can we learn to greatly benefit our personal relationship with our Creator? Let's begin in order with the first, thanksgiving. Today, and the meaning of thanksgiving is lost to many. But the Creator God wants us to be thankful. The action of thanksgiving to God retains God in our thinking. But still, the action of thanksgiving is lost to many. Why? One reason, our priorities are not right. What is the disconnect? It is because we focus on ourselves and we put God in the back seat. He becomes a minor role in our lives. How often does mankind in general acknowledge his blessings? It is tragic in the lives of those who refuse to thank God. Is there any substance to this statement? Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We are surrounded daily by the things God has made. Continuing, even his eternal power and Godhead. How much power does it take to create our sun? Our solar system, the moon for timekeeping. How much power does it take to create gravity or oxygen? Continuing in verse 20, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were, and notice, thankful. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They, speaking of mankind in general, had an ingratitude problem, which is a product of pride. We don't need God in our lives. I am driving my life. When I need him, I will give him a call. Hold your place in the first chapter of Romans. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Where does our food come from? It comes from the good land that God created. Verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. And now in verse 19. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. This is more than a life lesson. This is a warning. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day. These are warnings from the Old Testament. Do they apply still today? We will see. So what are the consequences when we forget our God? The picture gains clarity as we continue reading in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I asked you to hold your place, and I did not. Romans chapter 1. We'll continue reading the last part of verse 21. Nor were thankful, but became futile or ineffective in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. These are consequences of unthankful and foolish hearts. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. And who are these fools? Again, verse 21, because although they knew God, and most likely they had a basic understanding, yet they did not glorify him as God. They did not esteem him or honor him. What then becomes the result They became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And what is this referring to? This is referring to the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything. You shall not bow down to them. And earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read, beware, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and statutes. So what is the fallout from not remembering our Creator God and his instructions? Verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Worshipping the creation, not the Creator. Negating the blessings the Creator God promises for obedience. And the lie, what is the lie? The first lie. You will not surely die, Satan said to Eve. Satan directly contradicted God and God's truth. Satan said that humans will not and do not die. This is the origin of the doctrine of the immortality of the soul, which is false and unbiblical. The Bible clearly reveals that human beings are mortal and die. Just referencing Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your, notice, mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And in Romans 6, 23, a verse we commit to memory, for the wages of sin is death. Wages are a form of payment, and sin pays death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the most compelling scriptures in the Bible, God is offering eternal life to those who will obey him. How thankful are we that God has granted this understanding now to us? And you know, it is reassuring that Jesus Christ also thanked God the Father on our behalf. If I read Matthew 11, verse 25, and this is just a reference, here is an example. At that time, Jesus answered and said, and he's speaking, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because... And what follows is the reason Jesus is thanking God the Father. Because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them to babes, to us. And what things is he speaking of? Repentance, baptism, the kingdom of God. These are doctrinal subjects that you do understand. We often view Thanksgiving from two perspectives, a physical viewpoint, our day-to-day physical needs, and also from a spiritual viewpoint, our comprehension of spiritual truth, all sourced from the true Creator God. To endorse this matter, I will communicate a personal story. This happened this past year, Feast of Tabernacles 2023 in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Prior to sunset on Friday, a few of us from Pittsburgh met at an outdoor patio overlooking Lake Coeur d'Alene. While having a drink, watching the sunset over the mountains, there was a young couple sitting next to us, very friendly. So we asked them to take our picture. After taking several pictures, we exchanged, "Where are you from and why are you here?" They both were, and they lived in Coeur d'Alene. We communicated that we were from Pittsburgh. "So, why are you here?" "The reason we are here," and just giving a brief explanation, "is because we are attending a church convention, observing the Feast of Tabernacles found recording in the Old Testament and in the New Testament." Inevitably, the next response is, "What is that?" I can say with confidence, I think you have all been there in similar situations. And I'm referring to this personal story because of what the young man said, something to the effect, "Well, you don't use the Old Testament, do you?" Hinting that to this individual, the Old Testament of the Bible was not needed. Invalid. I was searching my brain for that one scripture to validate my reason for keeping this festival. But I have also learned to perceive if someone is really interested or leaning towards an argument. In this instance, surrounded by dozens of people, in an open environment, that was not the place to debate Scripture. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and what I could not think of at the time, I thought of later. Let's begin in verse 3, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. This is the passage of featuring the temptation of Jesus Christ. After fasting for 40 days, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Verse 4, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' This is my reasoning from the introduction. You are what you eat. Physical food sustains our physical lives. Spiritual bread, God's word, sustains our spiritual lives. God reveals himself to us through his scriptures. Looking back to Matthew 11, verse 25, we read earlier, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, those who are arrogant, and have revealed them to babes," children, "who are receptive to God's truth." Jesus answered Satan, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Where is this written? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And I'm mentioning this for a purpose. The book of Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. Correct? Jesus saw himself as the fulfillment of the promises of the prophets. Jesus quoted from 27 Old Testament books. In this passage of Satan tempting Jesus Christ, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy three times and the book of Psalms once. If the Old Testament is no longer valid, why would Jesus quote from it so many times? again, Matthew 11, 25. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. There is so much recorded in the scriptures for us concerning thanksgiving to God, especially for his truth. Today, we're only able to touch on a small fraction of it. So I want to move on to the next component of today's message. Praise. What is praise? From the dictionary, the offering of grateful homage or reverence in words or songs as an act of worship. Okay, what does that look like? Well, this is something we do each week as part of Sabbath services. We sing hymns of praise, 6 of them on average. So now we know what praise looks like. Singing is part of our worship service. Is that all there is to praise? Singing. Can you think of examples of giving praise to God? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Again, a reference to the kingdom of God. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, and that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In this scripture, we begin to see an affiliation with giving thanks and with praise. Thanksgiving is being grateful for what God gives. Praise is expressing our admiration for who God is. Thanks is basic. Praise takes us deeper, further, and is more advanced. Having a deeper appreciation for who God is. So let's examine what is the sacrifice of praise to God. How does this add to our relationship with the eternal God? Let's begin by asking the question, what is the purpose of praise to God? The word praise is used approximately 248 times in the King James Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. It is a word to take note of because it is an action essential in our relationship with our Creator God. To offer praise is to express admiration of the characteristics of, far as human to human, as a person. We tell our children, good job, and we offer them praise. To God, we offer praise because who God is. God's reason for praise is not for his benefit. It's not for his benefit, but for our benefit. Praise has the power to realign our spirit with God's spirit. So much in this physical life puts our spirit out of alignment. As a modern society, why are we so angry? Praise is a tool designed to refocus our affection, to realign our priorities, and to restore our souls. How? How? What does praise look like to you and to me? How do we put legs on praise, especially during difficult times in our physical and our spiritual lives? Notice Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Psalm 113. In verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, this is describing east to west, simply an endless horizon. The Lord's name is to be praised. And we observe two actions from these statements, that God is to be praised and a call on all to praise him. In Psalm 148, we read, even the sun, the moon, and the stars are to offer God praise. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens. The whole creation is to praise the Lord. Still, these are examples of objects of God's creation. What direction do we see for those who are made in his image and his likeness? Psalm 150, verse 6, and I will read it. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That is you and I. We can see that the universe praises God. We can also see that we are to praise God. Why does it seem so hard for us? Why? Perspective. God is the most important being in the universe. He created everything. All that we have, he made. He owns everything. Yet, we are surrounded by a world that curses God, uses his holy name in a common, disrespectful, and a filthy way. What is preventing mankind in general not being able to recognize the moral and spiritual decline of humanity? It is perspective. We read the warning earlier, Romans 1, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And what follows in the next in the Romans 20, verse 1, verse 28 and 29, is a snapshot of the world we live in today. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creation rather than the creator. Worshiping the creation instead of the creator. The end result is immorality. Still, there is a solution, an alternative as to how this world thinks. Psalm 100, verse 3. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I asked the question earlier, what does praise look like? Here's an example. One of many in the book of Psalms. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is the creator of the creation. Verse 3. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. Again, perspective. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. This verse shows progression. In ancient Israel, when the people of God gathered at the temple to worship, they entered through gates. And entered the gates with thanksgiving. The outer court was open to all, but only worshipers looking to offer sacrifices on the altar could then proceed into the inner court. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Earlier, we stated thanksgiving is basic. Praise takes us deeper, further, more advanced than our relationship with our Creator God. Praise refocuses our affection. Praise causes us to think deeply. For as He thinks in His heart, so is He. You are what you think. Praise is having a deeper appreciation for who God is. Praise compels us to think about the characteristics of God, to concentrate for a spiritual purpose. We will understand that praise is paramount in our relationship with our Creator. So far today, we've discovered that the whole creation praises God, that everything that has breath should praise God. We read in Psalms that praise from the upright is beautiful to God. Praising God helps us to get to know Him, to build a closer relationship with Him. Still, how do I do that? How do I use this tool of praise? Because I need to know. Praise compels us to think, to concentrate. What is it describing when you concentrate on spiritual attributes that relate to God? Is it praise? Oh, yes. Praise is the end result of another spiritual tool, Bible study. Yes, the study of God's Word urges us to think about what God's mind is, how He thinks, and what He has revealed. What is it describing when we think deeper on God's Word? Meditation. Concentrating your mind on spiritual values. Praise is a multifaceted tool in our relationship with our Creator. Praise is a component of Bible study. Praise is a component of fasting. Praise is a component of meditation. If I want to develop praise in my Christian growth, what do I do? And where would I go? I want to know how. And I discovered one answer. I was looking for, and I found, an outline to set praise in motion. I found it in Psalm 103. Turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Verse Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This word bless, here in Psalms 103, is very similar and can be switched with the word praise. And in some translations, that's exactly how it's rendered. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If I were to paraphrase this, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. And in Psalm 103, immediately following verses 1 and 2, David begins to list who God is. Let's notice verse 3, Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities? This is sins. Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from death or destruction? How is this all made possible? Well, we know from the understanding God has given us, it's because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Forgives our iniquities. His sacrifice permitted us to have our diseases healed. Who redeems our life, who paid the penalty for the death penalty. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. A crown is something that is placed upon you. He places on us his love and his mercy that we may have a sure future. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things. We certainly thank God for the food that he provides, but we praise him also for creating those things, the variety of foods that taste so good, that provides daily physical strength. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. And now in verse 11 and 12, to me are the centerpiece for praise in this psalm. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. No matter how far up a person could go, he could never outdistance God's love and mercy towards us. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, horizon to horizon, which is infinite, so far as he removed our transgressions. Sins from us. I'm beginning to understand now what praise looks like. Praise is offering of grateful homage in words. In words. This is implying prayer. Praise should be a part of our every prayer. Praise stabilizes us spiritually, causing us to count our blessings, to remember them in detail. Praise is having a deeper appreciation for who God is. Psalm 103 has now become a resource to concentrate on the power and nature of who God is, an outline for our prayers of praise. King David, a man after God's own heart, is the author of Psalm 103. It is an outline that is a benefit in our praise to God. The Apostle Paul also introduces a bullet list to assist us in our praise to God. Philippians chapter 4, Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Philippians 4, verse 9. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. What things is God encouraging us, or Paul is encouraging us to do? The list of things is found in verse 8. Finally, brethren, speaking to the church, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Truth, justice, purity, lovely, good report, virtue, character. These things, are they identifying traits of human nature, or are these traits of God's nature? And these are outcomes of God's Spirit leading human spirit, our minds, which in turn guides our actions. When we discover these character traits of God being developed in human beings, truth and integrity, justice, purity, holy behavior, these are praiseworthy. This is evidence of God's Spirit being developed in God's people. Can you imagine a world of humans whose motivation is truth, integrity, justice, purity, and holy behavior? By God's design, that world is coming. Another reason to praise God. This last fundamental action as a Christian we will look at is worship. Our relationship with God requires a personal commitment. Worship is essential. It's an essential part of that commitment. Worship involves coming into the presence of God. Think about that for a moment. The dictionary definition for worship is reverent honor and homage paid to God. Thayer's Greek lexicon adds to fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence. Earlier today, we reviewed the passage in Matthew 4 describing Jesus' response to Satan's temptation. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." To summarize, worship is deep respect, reverence, obedience, and service to God. Worship involves coming into the presence of God. Earlier we read from Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." Thanksgiving and praise to God are components as we worship the Creator God. Let's conclude. Thanksgiving, praise, worship. Three fundamental actions that are common by all and accepted by all Christians. Thanksgiving is basic. We can understand what that looks like. We also understand the warning not to forget to acknowledge God's blessings. It is dangerous to forget the source of our blessings. Thanksgiving is being grateful for what God gives us. Praise is expressing our admiration for who God is. And we recognize Psalm 103 as a personal tool to praise God. Praise takes us deeper, further, and more advanced, having a higher appreciation for who God is. Thanksgiving and praise are essential contents of worship. When we meditate on these features in God's Word, what one word encapsulates all three? I submit to you the word love. From Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and 30, this is Jesus speaking. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first great commandment. When we offer God, we offer our God thanksgiving, praise, and worship, we are indeed honoring the first great commandment.